And now, 88.9 WDCR brings you The Cradle and the Convert, a conversation about local issues with a Catholic perspective. Join your hosts, Dave Slade and Mark Barthelemy, and join the conversation.
Good evening, and welcome to The Cradle and the Convert. I'm Dave Slade, The Cradle.
And I'm Mark Barthelemy, The Convert.
Hey, Mark, how about when your phone rings in the evening, and it shows up on your caller ID as out of the area, or, you know, some crazy number that you're not expecting anything to come in from, you know? There's a lot of scams going on via the telephone and the internet and door-to-door type stuff. I know personally, I even kind of fell for one of the computer scams that was going around talking about there's a bug and they're getting into your computer let us help you fix it. And, you know, when my call came in, it actually said Microsoft on the caller ID. Yep. So I thought it was legit, and I kind of ran with the bait for a little bit till I realized, maybe this isn't right. So, and they mainly prey on the elderly.
Yeah.
Not that I'm all that elderly, but I hope to be someday. I'm getting more elderly every day.
Yes,
but,
indeed.
I've
noticed that.
We've noticed that they're, on our channel especially, we play a lot of public service announcements that come from the Macon County State's Attorney's Office involving elderly, elder fraud stuff on their hotline.
That's right.
And in the studio tonight with us, we have two guests. We have Macon County State's Attorney Jay Scott and Jason Van Alstyne, who's an investigator for the Elderly Victims Crime Unit. And we're going to discuss some of these scams that are going on, how to kind of protect our elderly parents and maybe even ourselves, and figure out how we can best be aware of these type of scams and to prevent being taken in by them. Now, Jay Scott was elected Macon County State's Attorney in 2012. Jay is originally from Bethany, Illinois, and a graduate of the University of Illinois College of Law. Jay has been a longtime prosecutor. I go back to the day when Jay was prosecuting drug cases for me that I would put together back in the 80s and 90s.
30 years or better, I know that.
Not quite 30.
Not quite. pretty darn close.
Real close.
Well, we want to welcome you in, Jay, and welcome to The Cradle and the Convert. We want to learn a little bit about these scams and how this comes to your attention and what your office does when it comes to dealing with these sorts of things.
Well, first of all, thanks for having us.
Oh, absolutely.
Appreciate the opportunity.
Honored that you're with us.
Yeah, indeed.
Well, when I got elected, the first thing I did was set up the Elderly Victims Crime Unit. Jason volunteered to be a part of that. I've got a phenomenal assistant state's attorney prosecuting the cases, Mary Cole. And we wanted to go after these guys. We wanted to do what we could to stop the frauds and the scams. We had a lot of help from the community, some business people that helped us set up the fraud hotline. Mm-hmm. It actually was not my idea. It was a local businessman. And at first I thought, well, what's this going to do? You know, how many people are going to call in the fraud hotline? We're well over 1,000 calls that we've answered now.
Wow.
The sheriff and I answer all the calls personally.
And I wondered about that. Do you really?
Yes, we do. We do.
I'll be darned.
Because we say that when we do our PSAs, that these calls are answered personally by the state's attorney or the sheriff.
So we do. Really? In fact, I had one call this morning before we got out here. We get calls every day, and we take them. A lot of times I don't get a call them back until the evening sometimes, but it helps us know what's going on out there, and we've encouraged people, if you get one of these scam phone calls or emails or letters, and you know it's a scam, just call in, tell us, because that's how we know what's going on out there. And, you know, you just say, I don't need you to call me back. I just wanted to report that I got this. And it's been, you know, we knew it was out there, but we had no idea until we set up the fraud hotline how common it is. And some days we'll get 15, 20 calls on the hotline.
You want to tell them how the calls work, actually?
Actually, the calls, when people call in, it goes to an answering machine, and then it automatically sends an email to my cell phone and the sheriff's cell phone. We kind of have a friendly contest to see who can answer them first, although I can tell you I'm kicking Tom's butt right now.
I kind of believe that.
And they also pop up on my desk computer at my desk, and, you know, we get... you don't talk to somebody live at that point, but we call you back, and you record the message. And like I say, if people call in and can say, hey, I got this, just wanted you to know about it, it's very helpful to us.
It's kind of a cyber neighborhood watch.
It is, and, anybody's got a question about anything, we'll answer it, and we'll tell them, yeah, this is a scam, don't do anything, don't call these people back, because people have questions, and they don't know.
So, and if I could add to that, I mean, a lot of these calls, like Jay already said, they're just calling to tell us what the scam is, that they didn't fall for it. So we're not having to necessarily do any follow-up calls, although sometimes Jay and the sheriff still do. It gives us a good idea, kind of sets a trend, so we know exactly what types of calls are hitting our air, whether it be an IRS or computer, that
kind
of
Jason,
thing.
And Jason, a lot of times people are embarrassed when they take these calls, and then they're afraid to tell anybody that I talked to somebody, I gave them some information. They're afraid to say anything. I know when I had the Microsoft deal with me, I was embarrassed because I had to have my son come out and help me clean out the files and all that, and I was very embarrassed about it. So a lot of times the elderly people are too embarrassed really to bring it up to other folks. So I guess an anonymous hotline is a great idea.
Exactly. I think that's why we get a good response out of it, is because they don't have to necessarily leave their name. They can just say, hey, you know, this happened. And well, actually, if they have fallen for the scam, a lot of times it's still a lot easier to just talk on the phone about it than in person. If, you know, after Jay's talked to them, if he can convince them to talk to me, then he'll send me out there, and I'll go out there and see what I can do to try to help them, or at least soften, you know, what's happened.
So. Jason, I want to clarify something. The Elderly Victim Service Unit, that's actually a part of the state's attorney's office, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, it's the Elderly Victim Crime Unit.
Okay.
Yes.
I want people to know that we're not talking about a state organization or anything else.
It is
strictly through the state's attorney's office right here in Macon County.
It is. It's something that Jay started, and as he said, I jumped on board. And it's something that I do on a full-time basis now, thanks to a grant that was provided to us by the Buffett Foundation.
Great.
He found out that we were already doing these good things to help seniors, and he jumped in and made it possible for me to do it for the next 4 years. So
do these scams focus on the elderly specifically, or do they just make random calls?
They can be both. The elderly are disproportionately targeted for scams.
Right.
And there's a lot of reasons for that. The one big thing that Dave mentioned was the embarrassment factor.
Right.
They like to, as our population grows older and with the advances in medication, we have a lot of people that can still live independently who may not be as sharp as they once were, or we see victims that are in the early stages of dementia that can still, physically take care of themselves, and these are the prime targets for these scam artists. Because I know, we've seen some heartbreaking stories where people that just, they didn't know any better, and they were told, you know, you need to pay this, you owe this money, and they did it without even thinking twice about it.
Is there a database that they access to find out a person's age or something?
Well, as we all know, with the internet, all of our information is out there and it's accessible to anybody. And if you belong to some organization, they can tell who the elderly people are. And we see these, we've seen local scam artists, in fact, that they only pick upon elderly people.
Right.
So it's very sad. And that's been the really nice thing about starting the hotline and having this unit. Is, as you guys know, being in law enforcement, you typically come along after the crime's been committed.
Right,
trying to catch the bad guy, make a case against him. The sheriff and I have actually been involved in preventing crime with this. And so it's been one of the most rewarding things that we've ever done. Tom and I have both been on the job for about the same amount of time, almost 30 years. And it's been really great. And plus, we get to talk to a lot of nice people on the hotline.
Yeah.
I'm sure you do.
I bet, yeah. Especially people that want help, you know.
Right.
As opposed to sometimes when you get a call from the state's attorney or the police, the first thing's, and instead of, turning to them for help, it's nice to have somebody ask and cooperate.
You know, I think probably two or three times a week I get a phone call from some charitable organization that sounds like the American Cancer Society.
Right.
Or it sounds like the American Heart Association.
Right.
It's a similar sounding name. And normally what they do is say, last year you gave us $50. Can we send you out a pledge card and count on that again? I don't remember sending any money to anybody.
Right.
To me, that sounds like a scam. And I get several of those a week. And I'm on the do not call list, so I'm not real sure how that all works, Jay.
Well, the do not call list is only complied with by legitimate businesses. Scam artists don't give a hoot.
Yep.
They're going to make the calls. And the one thing we see, the overwhelming majority of these phone calls are coming from outside the country. We've seen them come from India, from the Middle East, from Pakistan. We have no way to go after them. When people lose their money, it's gone. We can't get it back. And that's the heartbreaking part of it. And just another little tidbit, we can tell you that just the calls that we have reported to the hotline or come through the unit, that we can account since we started doing this for at least $250,000 that people in Macon County alone have lost to scam artists. Wow. And we used to get a lot of calls from people say, hey, I think I just got taken. Now we get the majority of the calls are from people saying, hey, I knew it was a scam, I'm just reporting it. Or they ask, is this a scam? So we're not seeing the numbers of those really heartbreaking things. We still see them from time to time, and we've seen people lose their entire life savings. People lose all their available savings. You know, they may have investments that they still have, but just heartbreaking things that we've seen.
And if I could add to that, I mean, with the hotline, I mean, Jay and the sheriff both have been successful in preventing, you know, scams. But we've also had cases where we've had people that, you know, are still caught up in it and don't necessarily know how to get out of it, or at least they don't think they do. So that's sometimes where I come in, and Jay sends me out, or the sheriff, either one, sends me out to talk to somebody, and we've been very successful with helping other people. That, you know, that once the money's gone, it's gone, but if we can stop the bleeding,
sure,
and get them to stop giving the money away, and we've accomplished something that's kind of outside of the realm of traditional law enforcement, too, which is what's so great about this unit, too.
And we've also gone out in the community. We've spoken to every group we possibly can, going through all the different scams, things to look out for, letting people know the fraud hotline. And I'll go ahead and say that now so we don't forget.
Yeah, please. Go ahead.
It's 217-615-7582. And again, we'll call. I don't think we've missed a call yet, but we will get back to you, and we encourage everybody to call.
Okay, I want to take a quick break here for just a second, and when we come back, Jay, I want to hear about what some of the common scams that are going on right now are, what we've dealt with. Is there some door-to-door stuff going on and that type of thing? So we'll be back right after this message.
This is Father John Burnett, pastor of St. James and Patrick Parish in the heart of Decatur. And Dave and Mark, I would ask you a question. What's the operative word in the Gospel of St. John? He tells us at the end, the reason he wrote the gospel is that so we may come to believe that Jesus is the Christ, and through this belief have life in his name. All through the Gospel of John, the word believe is there from the very beginning. The power to become a child of God is given to those who believe. My question for myself so often and for you today, what would your life look like if you really believed? And I mean really believed. What would your friendships be like? What would your family be like? What would your work be like if you really believed?
All right, we're back here on The Cradle and the Convert with our guests this evening, Jay Scott from the Macon County State's Attorney's Office. In fact, he is the Macon County State's Attorney. And Jason Van Alstyne, who's an investigator with the Macon County State's Attorney, investigating elderly victim crime unit type stuff. Okay, so as I said, when we came back, I wanted to learn a little bit about what's going on here in the Decatur area and what kind of stuff is current. And Jay, can you fill us in a little bit on that?
Well, the most of the scams we see are telephone scams. The most common one is the IRS scam, where they call people up and say, you owe back taxes, and you got to pay it right now, or we're going to arrest you, or we're going to file a lawsuit against you. We get a call at least every day. We get calls on the IRS scam. Some of them we see kind of come and go. We haven't seen any new ones really pop up. Every time we see something new, we put out a press release. But that's the big one, the computer scam that Dave mentioned.
Dave fell for.
Yeah. Another one we see a lot of is a call where they call up blind and they'll say, Grandma, Grandpa.
Oh, a friend just get one last week.
And they sit there, and if a person's got 10, 12 grandkids, they say, Billy? This kind of maybe sounds like Billy. They say, is that you? Yeah, Grandma, it's Billy. I'm in jail in Mexico, and I need bond money. We've seen some people lose significant sums on that. We get the calls for people, the scammers say that they're a federal marshal or they're with the sheriff's department and they you miss jury duty. All you got to do is pay it $500 right now and you can get out of it. I had a friend of mine fall for that one.
Oh, my.
And this brings up spoofing. They can disguise where the call's coming from. It's never going to look like it's coming from India. Occasionally we see them from Jamaica, but they can make it look like it's coming from the sheriff's department. We had that happened a couple of months ago on the jury duty scam, and the caller ID showed up in Macon County Sheriff's Office, and they left a phone number for you to call back. I called it. It was a recorded message that you've reached the Macon County Sheriff's Department.
Wow.
If you're calling about our pet adoption hours, you need to call this number, and it sounded very, very realistic.
I'll be darned.
And that tells you what, you know, the lengths to which they'll go. Some of them are not that sophisticated. One that I had to really talk a guy out of here a couple of weeks ago, the call says, you've been a good citizen. No criminal record. You always paid your taxes. You're entitled to a government grant. It's usually like $9,000-$10,000, but you got to pay a processing fee or you got to pay the taxes. And what most of these scams have in common, they want you to go down to the drugstore and get a prepaid debit card, put some money on it, and then you call them back. You give them the numbers off that card. They immediately withdraw that, and it's gone.
Wow.
They have that money that quickly. And, again, you're never going to get it back. We've had the one that I find probably the most reprehensible. They'll scam somebody. They'll get the money out of them. They'll call back a few days later or a couple of weeks later, and they'll say, hey, I'm Officer so-and-so. You know, when you sent that money, that was a scam. You got taken. But I'm here to help you. All you got to do is give me $500, and I'll get your money back.
Holy cow.
So it's a double scam they pull
Gee
on people.
Whiz.
And we've seen people fall for that one because they legitimately think they're talking to somebody that's going to help them out.
You know, I got two of those IRS calls myself, and both of them came from different numbers, but from the Washington, D.C. was in caller ID.
Correct. So you probably owe back taxes.
Hey, that's it. We're done because I want my lawyer. I'm not talking to you anymore.
I'll help you out, Mark.
Okay, Jay's going to look out for me. There we go. I trust him.
The spoofing thing is huge because originally, you know, you had these. You could tell people don't answer it if it's from another country or whatever, but now they're making it look like anything, you know, wherever. If it's the IRS, they make it look like, well, they use Washington, D.C. for some reason with the IRS,
right,
which doesn't make a whole
right.
lot of sense. But people still think Washington, D.C. or whatever. But I've got an app on my phone right now. It's something you can download for free, and I can call either one of you right now and make it look like it's coming from wherever.
Wow.
And I do that a lot of times when Jay sends me out to these houses to talk to these people, and I show them. You know, I'll make it look like Decatur Police or whatever you want. It's a free app. Anybody can download it. It's that simple, and that's what makes it so much more difficult and so much more believable for these senior citizens now.
Isn't that something?
You know, they just, if it's from Decatur Police, it's got to be legitimate, you know?
Do we still have the door-to-door scams of people coming around sealing driveways and fixing roofs that don't need
to be
fixed?
Yeah, we do. We don't see a lot of them. And one of the reasons why the elderly are targeted is that they're among the most underreported crimes to law enforcement. In fact, there was a government study several years ago came out that said that by the federal government that only 1 in 100 crimes against senior citizens is ever reported to the police. And that goes back to the embarrassment factor.
Yeah.
There's the fear of going to court. There's the thought, I'm never going to get my money back, so why bother? We're pretty good at catching the guys locally. In fact, we had a guy here a couple of years ago. We sent him to prison several years ago for financial exploitation of the elderly. He did his time. He got out. He got a pickup truck. He drove only to the homes of senior citizens, said that he did tree trimming, brush removal, and he got all of the people to pay him up front, and he never had any intention of coming back. We caught him. We sent him back to prison where he belongs. We had another guy from out of state, did the driveway sealing.
Yep.
He had a gentleman who was in the early stages of Alzheimer's. He figured that out pretty quickly. He overcharged him several $100s, but then he knew he had an opportunity, so he went back the next day and said, oh, I'm sorry, sir, I miscalculated. And it was like a several $100 job. And he said, I miscalculated, you owe me $9,000
more. Oh, my gosh.
And the gentleman wrote him a check simply because he didn't know any better. That bad guy made his mistake. He took the check to the victim's bank. The teller knew the victim's condition. She held the check. He did not get that money.
Well, good for the bank and
absolutely,
the teller.
Absolutely, absolutely. And he fled the state. We got a warrant. We convicted him and sent him away as well.
That sounds like a teller that should get one of your awards from your office.
Well, that was before we started the award, but she would have.
Good.
But, you know, and that's the thing. That, you know, it's a public awareness. We're asking people to be good neighbors. We've had some cooperation from local merchants that in the past, they make a little money when they send, you know, a wire transfer or one of these debit cards. So what does it matter? But we've raised the public awareness. We are giving out an award next year to some people from a local store that talked somebody out of sending the money in on this government grant scam.
Yeah,
so that's what we want people in the community to do. If you've got a neighbor that you know is having difficulties because of old age, you know, keep an eye out on them. We see a lot of people that they're being taken by their family or a new a new friend that comes into their life. So if you know somebody, you see some people that are hanging around that haven't been involved or haven't been in this person's life, you know, maybe start asking some questions.
Yeah,
give us
a
call. We'll look into it. So, and that's what Jason's here for. He does a very tremendous job.
As a law enforcement officer, there was nothing, nothing that infuriated you more than a crime focused on either a child, an innocent child, or an elderly person.
Those are my two biggies.
And, and they just, I mean, you know, you could keep your cool in a lot of situations where you amazed yourself sometimes. But in those two cases, it was so hard to maintain any kind of civility when you're dealing with perpetrators of those crimes.
Well, I always say that there's a special place in you-know-where
for
people to do this to senior citizens.
Yeah, on the lower levels.
Yes.
You know, I want to ask Jason, I understand, Jason, that you received an award, a state award for Outstanding Elderly Service Officer from the Attorney General. Can you tell us a little bit about what happened there? And thanks for your service for that.
Well,
that's awesome.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, the Attorney General's office puts on a 40-hour class that where they officers go through it from really any agency, and they get designated as an elderly service officer. And it covers a little bit of everything: financial exploitation, scams. I mean, even things such as parking violations, handicap stuff. I mean, it just really covers some advocacy, things like that. So, and it's usually attended by just law enforcement, but sometimes you'll have an occasional attorney or an advocate or something like that. So this is an award that they give out to officers. There's a few of them like myself, and then I think there was a main one too. I didn't get the main, the number one spot.
Well, you have to shoot for it.
Yeah, exactly. But I was the only one out of downstate Illinois. Everybody else is pretty much out of Chicago area.
No.
Cook County. So that's a nice thing.
How do you suppose that happened?
Well, but it's because somebody put me in for it.
It's
a nomination type thing. And I just went through the elderly service officer training, I think back in June. I think it was something like this. I haven't been an LA service officer for that long, but I've been doing work, for a couple years now.
That's incredible. So, we're really proud of you.
It's nice.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And I can tell you, he does a fantastic job. He, after hours, it doesn't matter. He'll go out and speak to people. He's helped out some victims who lost their money with getting them set up so they could pay their bills and getting them furniture. He's got a great compassion for what he does.
And I think it's important for folks listening. No, you're also an authorized law enforcement officer. You can make arrests, can you?
That's
not,
correct,
Jason?
Yes.
You can do any of the things police officers can do.
For the most part, yeah. And let me transition actually into the Elderly Victim Crime Unit. I also assist the prosecutor, Mary Cole, with prosecuting conventional crimes. I mean, your burglaries, your theft, your batteries, and things like that. So it's not just scams. I spend a great deal of time with that, but it's also the traditional crimes. And then also we look into and then also assist other agencies with financial exploitation cases too.
Mm-hmm.
So just try to help identify them, see if it's something that is a criminal matter, not necessarily a civil, and work with other agencies on that. So there's quite a bit to it. And we have, I mentioned, Kim Tarvin too is a victim advocate that we have. So she helps. So it's a small unit, but we do a lot of great things, and we have a lot of cases. I mean, it's amazing.
We're lucky here in Macon County to have this kind of dedication to watch out for the folks. We want to thank Jay Scott, the state's attorney, and Jason Van Alstyne for joining us this evening.
Good and old friends. It's good to see him.
Let me repeat
good to see you guys.
Repeat that elderly abuse hotline number, elderly fraud hotline number, 217-615-7582. 215-615-7582. And those calls are answered, I'm guaranteed, by Jay Scott or the Sheriff Tom Snyder. So, gentlemen, thanks for joining us this evening. Hey, we also want to thank everybody that attended the Relevant Reels showing of Pope John Paul II at the Avon. We had over 450 listeners attend the movie, and we certainly appreciate your support. Mark, you want to close us out with a prayer this evening?
Yeah, I think so. One that will be very appropriate to what our subject matter was.
Okay.
Please join me, folks, in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen. Eternal Father, we ask you to watch over, protect, and guide our elderly population, our parents, our aunts and uncles, those who are prone to victimization or ripe for victimization, given the information we now know about this. And please help them, protect them from these scams, and enhance their wisdom when it comes to decision-making and dealing with these phone calls and other approaches from door-to-door folks. This we do ask through Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns in unity with the Holy Spirit, one God forever and ever. Amen.
Amen. Amen. In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. We'll see you next week, folks. Thanks for listening.
Night, y'all.
Love is but a song we sing.
The Cradle and the Convert is a production of WDCR, Decatur Catholic Radio.